Joining us now, the head coach of the surging Pittsburgh Penguins, Mike Sullivan, joins us here on the Merrick vs. Brzezinski podcast. It's me, Greg. Jeff is over there. And congratulations on this run, sir. It's been wonderful to see the Penguins become the Penguins again.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. I think our guys are playing really hard right now. It's been a lot of fun to coach this group, and they've been enjoyable to watch here over the last little while.
You know, the two games on the weekend, to me, Mike, were fascinating in that I think we saw, at least with my eyeballs, I saw two different Pittsburgh Penguins team. Against Philadelphia, you weren't shy about clogging it up and slowing it down and messing it up a little bit. And then yesterday's game was just fly zone Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, it almost seems as if the Penguins are, I mean, when the Penguins were at the height of their powers, they could play you any game they wanted. I kind of get the feeling watching the two games this weekend that you're trying to get back to that.
Well, one of the things that I've tried to preach to our guys since I've got here is if we're going to be a team that's going to be competitive and that wants to contend, we have to be a team that can generate offense different ways. You know, and I think when you look at our roster, we have some real talented players that through their instinctive play, you know they're going to create off the rush. And that's where their instincts take over. And I think we try to quite honestly stay out of the way in those areas, and we allow our players the latitude to make those plays when the opportunities present themselves. But we also have to become a team that can generate offense through our puck pursuit and our down low play and our net traffic and that aspect of the game as well. And I think if we do that, we're more dangerous to play against. The other thing that we've tried to preach to our players is that, you know, the teams that have success have to have the willingness and the determination to defend. We've got to be a team that's hard to play against. We've got to be a team that's willing to defend when the time comes. And I think over the last month or so, I really think our guys have bought into that play away from the puck, and I think that's made us a more difficult team to play against.
Jim Rutherford said that you guys essentially went from being a slow team to a fast team. So how much of that is the addition of a Rust, a Daly, a Hagelin, and how much of that is systems and stylistically?
I think it's a combination of both. I think the players, obviously, when you look at our core players, they want to play a fast game. They're good skaters. They want to get the puck with speed through the neutral zone. And I think they have good instincts, so they see the ice well. And we can not only use our foot speed, but we can use team speed by advancing the puck and changing the point of attack quickly in order to create a competitive advantage. So that's the way I look at the strengths of our core players. And so with some of the additions that Jim has made to our team, I think it's added to that speed factor that we're trying to create. So, you know, I think it's really important as an organization that we know who we are, we know what our identity is, and that's something that we talk about on a daily basis with our team. And we believe that our competitive advantage is our speed, and we have to try to use that to our advantage each and every night. You know, we've tried as a coaching staff to simplify the game a little bit from a system standpoint so that we can play a little bit faster through the neutral zone. But really, it's more for me, it's a mindset of trying to play a fast game and a north-south game so that we can take advantage of the strengths of our core guys.
Further to that, if I can dovetail with a question about leaving the zone, because it seems as if you're, and I don't know, I'm not behind the bench, but it seems as if you feel comfortable with players flying the zone a little bit early. Previous regime, not so much, pretty much more buttoned down, married to that D to D pass before you do anything out of the zone. Are you okay with some of your key faster players maybe leaving the zone a little bit early to start to generate that speed?
Well, what we do is we give our guys the latitude to stretch the ice. And, you know, that's one of the aspects of our game that I think allows us to play fast. Is if we and we give parameters to them on how to stretch the ice and who stretches the ice. So, mm-hmm. You know, certainly we don't want to be a team that flies by the seat of our pants and plays a high risk game, but we want to be a team that plays a calculated game. And so if we see an opportunity where we can fly one player to try to pull the opponent's defenseman off the blue line and maybe open up some ice underneath for some of our players to, you know, to attack with possession and speed with that underneath ice. I think we can become more dangerous off the rush. So certainly that's something that's part of our team concept. We think it helps us play that speed game that we're trying to play.
All right, I got a theory about why you guys keep winning despite losing Evgeny Malkin, and here it is. This team has gone through so many catastrophic injuries to big-name players over the last 4 to 5 years. They just know how to do this. Like, you've got guys in this roster that just don't sweat it, don't waver, see a guy go down and know exactly what needs to be done for the slack to pick up. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm sure there's some truth to that. This team has been through a lot of adversity over the years where key players have gone down, and obviously you learn through those experiences. I really believe it starts with our leadership in our room. I think it starts with Sid, our captain, and then it trickles down from there. For me, I don't think our players are looking for excuses. I think they're taking advantage and embracing the challenge and the opportunities that are presented. And listen, anytime you lose a guy that's as good as Geno Malkin, he's a difficult guy to replace. Our guys are well aware of that. But having said that, we still believe we have capable people within our dressing room, within our organization, that we can be a competitive team. And when somebody goes down with an injury, it provides opportunities for others to step up and play a more significant role. It provides opportunities for young players to establish themselves in the league. And as a coaching staff, we've tried to challenge our guys in that regard to look at this opportunity as a big challenge and embrace it. And if we do that, we feel as though we have capable people that can get the job done. And I think our guys, they have, to their credit, they've played extremely hard. I think we've got an enthusiastic group. We've got a nice mix of young players right now with our core veteran guys that provide the right kind of leadership for these guys. And they're playing hard. It's really been a pleasure to coach this group, and we're really enjoying the process right now.
Mike, before you took over, as you well know, it seemed as if Sidney Crosby wasn't getting the puck when he wanted it, maybe as often as he wanted it as well. How much of when you took over did you say to yourself and say to the team, when Sid wants the puck, just get him the puck?
I wish it was as simple as that. I can't really speak on behalf of what took place before I got here. But what I can tell you is what I've witnessed since I've been here, and that's a Sidney Crosby that is playing with all kinds of passion and determination. And I think when he's invested emotionally into the game, and this is something that I've talked with Sid on a number of occasions about, that just having coached against him over the years, when he's at his best, he's emotionally invested in what's going on out there. And when he's all in like that, I think he's one of the top players in the world, if not the top player in the world. And I think that's where, for me, the start of his turnaround or his resurgence, I guess, has taken place. It really is a credit to him on how hard he works and prepares every day. But he's all in right now. He's all in. He's determined to lead this team the right way, and he deserves a lot of credit for the success that this team's enjoyed.
And you mentioned the emotion, and that's a good point to pause on there. Like, where were their heads at when you walk into that room? And was there an opportunity to channel that frustration into something positive and maybe lead to this run you guys have been on?
Well, I think, when a coaching change is made in pro sports, it's usually a result of expectations aren't met. And those can be difficult circumstances for everybody to go to work in. And no one, I think, bears the burden of that more than the players themselves, because nobody wants to see somebody, one of their coaches, get fired. It's a hard business in that regard. We all have the utmost respect for how hard coaches and players work in this league. It's a very good league. And so when those circumstances take place, it can be a difficult environment for players to perform. I think the burden of responsibility can weigh on players. And, when I took this team over – one of the things that I asked myself was, how can I have the most immediate impact? And for me, what I came to the conclusion was to try to change the mindset a little bit so that they weren't so focused on the circumstances surrounding the team, and try to change that focus just on the process of getting better. Let's just come to the rink every day. Let's work on our games. Let's pay attention to detail. Let's practice hard. Let's develop good habits, and then let's go out and play. And if we can change the focus or tweak the focus just on the details of the hockey and not necessarily dwelling on the difficult circumstances surrounding the team and doing our best to block out the noise, if you will, that's surrounding the team, then I think we have a chance to turn this team around. And so that was our approach coming in. And, you know, it took us a little while, but I think we're on the right track here. I think we're getting better each and every game. And, you know, this last few weeks here, I think our team has put a pretty consistent stretch of hockey together that for me gives us a chance to win on most nights.
You know, it seems as if, too, the moment you took over, the one thing that changed, and this is from talking to a couple of your players, was the nature of practice. And as you know, players crave structure, they crave accountability, and, you know, they crave things like focus. And it's the guys that I talked to right away, they said the practices are great. We know what we're trying to achieve. There seems to be a purpose, and everybody knows exactly what they're supposed to do. From the coach's point of view, what are you trying to achieve in practice?
Well, the one thing we do is we want to practice fast. I'm a strong believer that we are what we repeatedly do, and if we want to play a fast game, then we've got to train fast. So one of the staples of how we practice is we practice with pace. We practice with tempo. There isn't a lot of downtime. It's not a slowdown process. We're trying to train our group to play quick. And if we train that way, hopefully that will translate into the game situations and we'll play that way. You know, the toughest part of when we first took the team over was we played something like 6 games in 9 nights. It was difficult because there was not a lot of practice time to try to affect some change. And so that was one of the challenges that we faced moving forward. But now that, you know, we've had the team here for a few months now and try to establish some practice habits and practice, you know, staples of each and every day and what we're trying to accomplish and defining objectives each and every day when we go into practice, that's really the approach that we've taken. And I think our guys have certainly benefited from the tempo of the practice and just the pace of the practice. And I believe that that is translated into a faster game in the game situations.
Last one's for me, Mike. You are also an assistant coach for the 2016 USA World Cup of Hockey, which I know will be your World Cup of Hockey champion as a proud American. What are your thoughts on the jerseys, first of all, for Team USA?
What are my thoughts? Are you talking about the design? Do I like them?
Yeah, you like them? I mean, we've had beautiful designs for USA hockey jerseys all over in all the Olympics and all the international competitions. What did you think of these ones?
Sure, I like them. I like them, but I'm not a picky guy, you know. I think we have great colors. I think we have a great logo. I think no matter what design they pick, it's hard to pick a bad one because of the colors and the logo. So from what I saw so far with what they've come out with, I think they're fine.
And as far as what you do for this World Cup team, like, did you have input on the first group announced? And when do you have to start actually concerning yourself with the tournament?
We really haven't even gone down that path. You know, I've had one or two discussions with John Tortorella just regarding some of the players that were in consideration. But obviously they have a very capable management team there of a number of general managers and Torts himself that represents the coaching staff that I think have the biggest influence on the selection process as far as the players. They're difficult decisions. There's a lot of really good players out there. So I know that our management team there is very qualified. They've got a real good handle on our players and what they're capable of. As far as how the coaching staff's going to work, we really haven't gone down that path at this point. I'm sure at some point moving forward, Torts will define roles and responsibilities, and we'll all work together to do the best that we can.
And Mike, last one here, and we thank you for your time. Behind the bench, you are very calm, you are very focused, but when the coach sees TJ Oshie get 3 or 4 freebies on Sidney Crosby, what goes through your mind?
Well, you know, for me, it's just hockey. You know, I got asked that question last night after the game, and one of the things that we've talked about with our team is our identity, what's our competitive advantage, and how do we not get deterred or distracted from playing our game, regardless of the tactics that other teams are going to take to try to get us off our game. And I think that's an important aspect moving forward for us to have success. And every team's going to have a little bit of a different identity. Some teams are big and strong and play a heavy game and are physical, and they're going to try to bang us, and they're going to try to play physical against us to slow us down. And if that's their identity and that's what they are, that's fine. We can't get caught up playing their game. We've got to make sure we play ours. And I think it takes that unwavering focus and that unwavering discipline to make sure that we don't get caught up in somebody else's game, so that we give ourselves the best chance to get the result that we're looking for. And I thought last night was a perfect example. I was proud of our guys at how hard they played and the focus that they maintained through the process. That Washington team is a very good hockey team. They play a physical style of play. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about our group is our response, or our pushback, was through our speed and our puck pursuit and the play and the game between the whistles, not after the whistles. And that's the most important element of our game, and making sure that we don't get distracted. And I think that's the biggest takeaway. And we've had a number of games over the last couple of weeks that have tested our resolve or our resilience in that regard. And I think that they're great learning experiences for our guys. I think it provides more evidence that if we maintain that necessary focus and we play our game and not get caught up in somebody else's, then we get a chance to win regardless of who we play against.
My quick follow-up, before I let you go, any update on Dumoulin? We saw him hit pretty hard last night by Ovechkin.
I have not spoke to our training staff today, but it's my understanding that it's a day-to-day injury.
Okay, perfect.
Mike, life is so much more exciting and interesting when the Penguins are good.
True.
So thank you for that. And we'll hope to catch up with you during the playoffs, man.
Okay, guys. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.